event, and I want to thank you so much for being here. 5 seconds, a message to the world about the importance of press freedom.
Press freedom is not just for journalists. I think this is a critical time for democracy around the world, both in the Philippines and in the United States, and you must fight for your rights while you still can.
Maria Ressa, I want to thank you so much for being with us. Founder, CEO, executive editor of Rappler, an acclaimed Philippines news website, has been arrested twice in recent months. I'll be speaking Saturday night at UC Berkeley, 6 o'clock. Check our website on the occupation of Western Sahara. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks for joining us.
Broadcasting from the campus of Henry Ford College, this is WHFR Dearborn, listener-supported, non-commercial radio featuring local and independent artists.
Take a look under your bed. Find stuff under there? What about jobs? No? Now try your basement. There's a pair of overalls that overall you're not so into anymore. A perfectly good laptop that hasn't sat in your lap in months. And even more stuff, but still no jobs? Well, you really have both. See, stuff is defined as household articles considered as a group. Sometimes this stuff is no longer needed. Wait, no longer needed? That can't be right. Because remember those jobs you were looking for? Those are really needed, and they're the stuff inside your stuff, even inside that winter coat that moved with you to Phoenix. Our job is to unlock those jobs, and it starts when you donate your stuff to your local Goodwill. Here's how we do it. When you donate to Goodwill, we sell your stuff to provide job training for people right here in your community. So just by teaming up with Goodwill, you help create jobs. And isn't that worth parting with the leftover guitar from your 80s cover band? Goodwill. Donate stuff, create jobs. Find your nearest donation center at goodwill.org. A message from Goodwill and the Ad Council.
Listener supported. Non-commercial radio. From the campus of Henry Ford College, this is WHFR Dearborn.
Welcome to the WHFR Journal on this Friday. Susan McGraw here, along with Alan Mazurek. And Alan, do you feel 80 years old today?
Well, there are days where I do, but today actually is not one of them, thankfully. So, yes, indeed. Always a pleasure to spend a Friday afternoon with you and with our listeners here on WHFR.
Likewise. So. Thank you so much. Well, my silly question is completely tying into this 80th anniversary of Henry Ford College theme that we are going with. This evening, as our community listeners might know, the college is celebrating an 80th anniversary gala, proceeds benefiting scholarships and student support here on our campus. But 80 years, it's a really neat opportunity to sort of sing our praises
a little bit. We've referenced it a few times throughout this academic year, which I assume is kind of what the 80th is based around.
That's right.
Because we started talking about it in 2018, but here we are in 2019 having the gala. And obviously, yes, it is a tremendous opportunity to look at sort of not only the history of where the institution has been, but, you know, where it's going and where it's headed for the future. And obviously we feel a decent amount of momentum in that direction, don't we?
We absolutely do. So for me, it's not only the ability to brag about this radio station and our telecommunication program, but also my academic start was here at Henry Ford.
I was going to say, when is the first time you ever set foot on the HFC campus? And I'm sure a lot of listeners and most people in Dearborn and in the area, you know, I assume have, you know, at some point worked their way through HFC. When was the first time?
Yes, my first time was mid-range of my senior year of high school.
Okay.
So I'm not going to give you a date, but I will give you that context. And I had an interview with the then head of the honors program for a potential honors scholarship to attend the school.
Mm-hmm.
I was lucky enough to get the scholarship, and so I spent my first 2 years of college here at Henry Ford.
Well, that was going to be my next question was, did you attend classes here? And How did that benefit you moving forward?
I absolutely loved the experience. I loved the small class sizes, teachers very connected to their students. I never felt lost. My very first time on campus, again, that that interview day, I walked by this little closet here in the Student Center building, mm-hmm. and at the time, that was WHFR radio. We were not broadcasting to the community. We were broadcasting to what was called the Pagoda Room here on our campus, right in this building, the Student Center building. And I remember peeking in, and somebody came out of the literally closet-sized room. It actually is a closet at this time, and it was before and is again. And I remember them saying, his name was Cool Breeze. That was his name. He was the DJ. And he came out and said, oh, so you like this kind of stuff? Are you interested in music? And I'm like, yes, this is amazing. I had nothing like that in high school.
Sure.
And he said, well, come on to a meeting. Come on and join us. And I've been connected to the radio station just about ever since. So
wow.
That is highly cool. So I got to do a radio show and in that first semester when I started and kept going and so on.
On the other hand, I have never taken classes at Henry Ford College, but I think I have you beat by a few years. Mm. You know, my parents, got married in the early to mid 1960s. I was born in the mid 1960s. You know, they did what they did. They, they got jobs, they got work, but then eventually they figured out that, you know, education was important to them and they wanted to start to take classes. So I think probably the first time, and I grew up not far from here, right around Evergreen and Tireman, so, you know, I always knew where it was. I was probably 5 or 6 years old, I think I was in school, and my mom was taking a music appreciation class. And I don't know if I was on vacation or if I was sick at the time or whatever, and she brought me to campus to sit in while she was taking her music appreciation class. I want to say it was something by Schubert we listened to. It was on the old, you know, LP turntables with the big speaker out front. I had a chance to actually go in that room a couple of years ago, and
wow.
It was like, wow, I remember this place. Like, I think the carpeting's been updated, but I think it still looks exactly the same as I remembered
it. I think it could be the same carpeting. It's the building I'm thinking of, but that's okay. It's all good. Good memories. Good. Well, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
And you do have me beat. And your dad had spent some time here on the campus as well.
He did teach here for quite a long time, and it was certainly part of his development and his career moving on from, you know, where he started and moving on to, like, getting higher and higher levels of education as well and the opportunity to teach as well.
Very exciting. Yeah. One of the things that I noticed, and we've had many guests, members of the campus community and the college community talk about their first time here or their connection to Henry Ford College. It mm-hmm. seems like everybody in this area does have some connection, and we're excited to explore some of those on today's program. I will tell you, we'll learn more a little bit about the gala with one of our special guests coming up, Stacy Basman, who is going to be here representing the Henry Ford College Foundation, so mm-hmm. she'll talk a little bit about tonight's event. But we are very excited to bring in some of the people that sort of started off by planting those wonderful seeds to the students of our generation and certainly led the path to the students of the next generation. We're going to be joined a little bit later with Geraldine Gruno, mm-hmm. who is an English faculty retiree from the college, many years on this campus, and just a beautiful, beautiful woman. But we're going to kick off our show today with a name that, if you live in Dearborn, if you've been in this college community, you know the name Glenn O'Cray. And Glenn has been connected to this college I'll let him tell the story, but for many, many years.
When was your first time on this campus?
Before we were here, he was here, and really, in so many ways, is still a very strong part of this college community, but also the campus community. So Glenn is representing today the Dearborn Historical Commission. He is the chair of that organization. He also does interviews with the CDTV and their on-demand video called Through the Arsenal Gates, just interviewed our president, Cavaluna, not that long ago, and also a staple here in many capacities on the Henry Ford campus for many years. And he was working here when I started here, and I remember having some interaction with Glenn. He probably doesn't remember that, but indelible memory in my brain. So always a pleasure to be joined to talk to Glenn O'Cray. He's a busy man, busier now than ever, but we've got him here in the studio. So welcome to our airwaves.
Pleasure. As I recall, you were wearing green on the day we met.
Oh, I love you. You're absolutely right.
Well, I have to tell you about the first two times I was on campus. One was this campus was newly built, and I was looking for a place to take neat pictures of my girlfriend. And so we came onto campus, and She became my wife, and now we've been married for 53 years, and we've not had one murder in the household.
Oh, that's a wonderful story.
And the second time I was on campus was my first day of employment, or that other than the interview process, and I came into the parking lot, and I had to jump through hoops to get here on time, and I made it. I couldn't find a parking place. So I drove around a couple times, and dang, I found a parking place. The very first one, I said, this is my lucky day. So I went in and spent the morning at work, came out at noon, and I had parked in the president's spot. So I was so excited to make such a major impact on the college.
And that you did.
That I did, yes. Yes, I did.
At least the car was still there, right, when
yeah,
you came back.
Right,
yeah, very, very good. Yeah. Who was the president at that time?
Stuart Bundy, very fine fellow. Yeah.
Very good. And you served here under at least a few presidents, actually maybe four, if I'm not mistaken.
Let's see. Dr. Meade was interim president, and then Dr. Mazzara. So those were the folks. Yep.
Very good. Very good.
And I worked for two very fine people during my tenure here. One was Wally Smith. Wally hired me, and he was a wonderful guy. And then Mike Meade, who's now on the board. He was a wonderful person to work for. I cannot say too much about him.
Wonderful. And, you know, Mike Meade did share some wonderful comments about our discussion opportunity today. We invited him to join us, and he was unable to be here, but just sends his regards to everybody on this 80th anniversary show, and did indicate his true commitment to and passion for this institution, which has seen lots and lots of changes over the years. But we feel that we're in just a great place here in 2019, and 80, you know, after 80 years, you hopefully finally figure it out. And I know there have been ups and downs, and we didn't even start on this campus location, as historians will tell us.
I was going to say, yes.
So it's morphed around.
What is the history there and this particular location here at, Ford Road in Evergreen?
That's right. That's right. Well, as a chair of the Dearborn Historical Commission, and you're very into architecture and homes and things, as I understand,
am.
With that organization, and also as your passion. But so what do you remember of the early days of the campus, and what has your research uncovered as it relates to how Henry Ford got started in this community?
Two things. One is that it began in Fordson High School, and then it went on to the Miller Road campus, and then ultimately came on to Evergreen. And I can remember when Evergreen didn't go from Ford Road to Michigan. And my early days here, it was a bit laid back, and it was before computers, and it was a different world. But I cannot say too much in terms of the quality of the staff and the people working here. I have two daughters, and I care enough about the campus and about my daughters to send them here. They both had wonderful experiences. One is now an attorney, and the other teaches in a middle school in Orlando, Florida. And from time to time, we discuss their favorite teachers along the way in college, and typically they will say that their favorite teachers were those teachers from Henry Ford. So I feel really good about that. Dearborn has a rich history of stories, and I like to weave connecting parts in wherever possible. I was at a Dearborn Democratic meeting a couple of months ago, and I'm a trustee there, and I ran into Sam Badoon. Sam Badoon is newly elected county commissioner. And Sam Badoon said, I hear that you work at Henry Ford College. And I said, well, I have been, yeah. And he said, I went here in the early 80s, and I had a wonderful experience, especially with an instructor by the name of Ed Demmerly. Do you know Ed? I said, Ed's a good friend of mine. So ultimately, Sam drew together a number, let's see, I think there were four others in his class, Ed and me to have lunch together, and for him to be able to single out Ed after several years and define the people in his class and kind of draw us all together, that was just kind of a fun experience. Another story that I like to tell, I used to make a lot of presentations on financial aid. And one day a fellow in his 40s came up and he said, I'm interested in going to college, and is there an age restriction in terms of getting financial aid? I said, no, there's not. So he got financial aid. He came to Henry Ford, and I'd see him on campus every now and then, and I'd say, how are you doing there, Mike? He said, I just love this program. So a few years went by, probably 2 years went by, and he said, my dad died recently, and my mom is just looking for something to do. Could she get financial aid? And I said, well, if she hits the criteria, sure. Well, she enrolled in school at the age of 80.
Wow.
So my last day on the job as an administrator here, and I'm just kind of running around like a chicken with my head cut off, and secretary said, the student's at the door. And I said, oh, terrible time to knock on the door, but yeah, I'll see him. He said, I just thought I'd drop in to let you know my mom died. And of the best things that happened to her since my dad died was coming to Henry Ford, and I just thought I'd let you know that. So, oh my God, what a way to end my professional administrative career at Henry
Ford.
Absolutely. Yeah. Wow. So in the early days, we didn't have the Fine Arts Building. We did not have the Missouri Administrative Center. We did not have the Welcome Center. We did not have the addition to the technical building. So I've seen a lot of changes on campus. Now, along the way, though, I have learned something, and from another one of my colleagues in the Dearborn Democratic Club, Hussein Berry, who's also a trustee here at the college. And he said, collaborate or die. And I found that to be true, that whenever I worked with other people, things just kind of went better. And that led to the formation of the Henry Ford Community College Administrators Association. In effect, we were well paid at the time, but we needed a seat at the table, and setting up a union got us that. When I retired from my administrative job, I began teaching as an adjunct instructor, and frankly, we were woefully underpaid. And we set up a union, and it drew us together, and it's been a great experience. And in both cases, I think ultimately the administration felt that, hey, not only is this helping the employee, but it's helping the institution and the administration as well. So that's been a wonderful experience. Again, I try to tie in a lot of things, and one of our – I always forget the name of that campus that's next to us.
our neighbors to the south.
Right. Yes. We used to refer to it as Henry Ford South, but I know that's not the former. Oh, U of M Dearborn. That's it. Anyhow, the site of the Henry Ford Mansion, and it celebrated its 100th anniversary of its opening. In 1916 was the date. And I said, let's see what we can do about putting together a book of Dearborn homes that are at least 100 years old. So it's been a great experience. The city's listings of homes was not completely correct because there was a fire in the city hall along the way. And a lot of records were burned. But ultimately, we ended up getting stories and pictures of about 144 homes. And that was a wonderful experience, gluing that together. And again, just gluing human interest stories. And followed up with that with two additional volumes. So between the three volumes of best Dearborn stories, voices from Henry Ford's hometown. We have 450 joyous stories of growing up in Dearborn, living in Dearborn. We have stories written by people that live in Dearborn, had lived in Dearborn, or wished that they had lived in Dearborn. One of the recent things that I've been involved in is an organization called the Committee to Promote Better Understanding of Islam. Obviously, Dearborn has a different culture than it did when I was born here in this city many years ago, and it's been an enriching experience, and we've done various things. We've put together a series of videos that are on YouTube, and a couple weeks ago, we had a program at Sacred Heart in Dearborn, acquainting Christians with Islam and Muslims with Christianity. It was a wonderful success, and I thank Mary Asal and Ed Demmerly for being part of that. It was just a tremendous undertaking, and it really worked out well.
Yeah, you talked a couple of times about the word collaboration, and you credited somebody else, that collaborate or die kind of a thing. That's one of the things that in my time here, which is a little bit shorter than your time here, Glenn, but that always seems to be sort of at the root of any of the successes that I've been a part of or experienced. It is that, you know, we're a college, but collegiality is not always present at colleges. And that is something that seems really it just kind of always rises to the top here. So it's the neighbors, it's the, you know, it's the coworkers, the people in the office across from you, it's the students and the diversity of the students. That feeling of welcome, that feeling of we're going to work together, and if there are problems along the way, which there inevitably will be, we're going to work to make them more successful. And I think that is one of the key things that not only keeps really bright people here, but also attracts students that are interested in sort of getting a little part of that so they can kind of take that on as they move forward in their lives. Would you agree?
Absolutely. I quote, I don't know who I'm quoting, but no man is an island entirely of himself.
We're very excited to have you be a part of both aspects of history. So you lived in Dearborn your entire life?
I haven't. My wife and I was born on the corner of Oakwood and Morley in Dearborn. And one day, as it turns out, this fellow wrote a story who came to visit me, and I found out that he is the son-in-law of Stan Vitalik, who was a cornerstone of the college. Mm-hmm. And he said, I was born down the street at that hospital. I said, so was I. I said, what year were you born? He says, 1942. I said, so was I. I said, what month? He says, May. I said, so was I. What day? May 5th. So was I.
Oh, my God.
My very first roommate. The hospital, it's an office building now, but it probably had 10 beds. And here, wow. I meet one of the other nine in the hospital. Anyhow, my wife and I moved to Westland. We paid off our house in Westland. Then we said, well, it must be time to move. We moved back to Dearborn 20 years ago. I thought we'd have buyer's regret. Never did that occur. We just love Dearborn. We live around Buddy's Pizza, and it's area filled with old homes, and we're doing our best to preserve them. We're working towards turning that into an historic district so that the homes will not be torn down. We believe in history. We believe in retaining the past, holding on to those things that were present when Henry Ford came down the block.
Oh, beautiful. Well, we are so pleased to be holding on to you and all of your words of insight and wisdom and the rich history that you bring to this community and to today's interview. So we celebrate 80 years as a campus community in some form or another, and we celebrate the people that have come through this to affect positive change in others, and you certainly are one of those very people. So we thank you for your time today, Glenn. Continued success with all of the work that you're doing. It's just wonderful.
Let me throw in one more thing.
Sure.
A year ago, your department collaborated with tapings several segments of people's stories from Dearborn, and those are available on YouTube. So take a look at the Dearborn Historical Museum on YouTube, and you will see a selection of about 10 people tell their stories.
Yeah. And we loved collaborating with you and all of your colleagues in that project as well. So if you want to find out more about all of these exciting things we've talked about, you can always start at the Dearborn Historical Commission, of which Glenn O'Cray is chair at this time. So we continue our celebration of 80 years as a college. We continue this interview process. We're going to be bringing in someone from the foundation office. Stacey Basman will be joining us shortly. And again, we thank you for your time in listening to this edition of the WHFR Journal. Glenn, great to see you. Look forward to talking to you again.
Been a pleasure.
Thank you. We've got more on the way. Stay with us.
Henry Ford's Writing Center works with all writers at any skill level, with any project, at any stage of the process. Visit the Writing Center in the Eshelman Library to talk about understanding assignments, generating ideas, developing a thesis, organizing ideas, building research, planning for revision, or expanding your writing potential. To take advantage of this resource, please visit the Writing Center located in Henry Ford College's Eshelman Library or contact us by sending an email to writingcenter@hfcc.edu.
You spent such a long time typing that you forgot how to write letters.
Do you enjoy listening to a wide variety of jazz music, featuring some of your favorite classic to contemporary artists? Then why not start your weekend off by tuning in to the Jazz Horizon Show with yours truly, Earl Jones, your host, each and every Friday evening from 8 until 10 p.m. right here on WHFR 89.3 FM, the station that's making waves. That's the Jazz Horizon Show, every Friday evening from 8 until 10, with real jazz for your ears, listening pleasure.
This is the WHFR Journal. Susan McGraw, along with Alan Mazurek. We are celebrating 80 years of a wonderful institution known as Henry Ford College. One of the greatest shining stars of that institution in my generation here at the college is a very, very, very sweet woman by the name of Geraldine Gruno. And Geraldine and I had the pleasure of working together just a little bit when we sort of merged divisions of several years back, and we became the communications division as a part of the English department and the speech department and telecommunication and so on. Mm-hmm. Alan, you remember that, I'm sure.
I do indeed.
Yes. Well, we are so excited to have brought our sweet Geraldine Gruno out of retirement, in fact, to come back to our campus and share some of her thoughts and her insights on what this institution means, has meant to her and students, as well as the community at large. So, Geraldine, so happy to have you here. Oh. So nice to see you again.
Thank you, Susan. It's a great pleasure to be here, and thank you, Alan, for coming in specially for this interview. Yes, and I do think that was one of the happiest times of our division was when we merged. I think we had really good collegial work, wonderful meetings that we enjoyed, I think, rather than just endured. And so that was a wonderful time for us. And yes. I was sorry to leave, but I also knew it was time to leave. So.
Well, let's go back a little bit before that. Yeah. How long were you a faculty member at the college, and what was it like when you started here at that time? And again, 80 years is a lot of context. Yes. A lot of little stories make up this great 80 years. Yeah. But I just love learning about little slices of the life of Henry Ford College.
Yes, I was actually trying to remember how I came here. And I came to give a talk about Amnesty International. I was invited by Dr. Abraham, Nabil Abraham, with the anthropology. And after that, there were openings for, and I hadn't really thought so much about starting to work again after my children were growing. And there were part-time positions opening here, so I applied. I didn't get a position the first time, but I did in the later semester, and I worked here as an adjunct for a year, and then full-time positions opened up in the English division, And I was amazed and delighted. I think it may have been one of the happiest days of my life when I got the phone call from Dr. Chillens, Ed Chillens, to say that I had a job. I really thought I had died and gone to heaven. I had enjoyed teaching as an adjunct very, very much, and I loved the students, and I also really enjoyed the collegiality and the kindness of the colleagues that I was working with. It really was quite an amazing thing for me that I hadn't expected it. And I'd been terrified of doing that, this kind of work. And the helpfulness and the kindness was really very wonderful for me. Yeah.
And what classes were you teaching at that point? What subject matters?
Yes, I was teaching basic English first. Mm-hmm. Composition, that was, you know, the thing that was needed then. So I did that for quite a long time. I also taught teaching literature, English literature was what I expected to be doing. And it was, in fact, a treat here. It wasn't something that we did as new teachers, as new instructors. So when I got to teach poetry and drama and so on, that was also really nice. And then I got to teach children's literature, which I didn't know much about, and none of us knew that much about it because it wasn't an academic subject for most of us. But when the education program opened up, that was something that we needed to do, and I really enjoyed doing that as well. I also taught developmental writing, which probably in some ways I maybe liked most of all, you know. That was English 093, yeah.
How many years were you a full-time teacher before you retired just not that long ago?
It was from 1990 to 17, so about 27 years, I think, yeah. So, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Very good.
I was lucky.
So the students, some have changed quite a bit. Some,
yes.
You know, we
yeah.
still have those similar traditional yeah. circumstances that they're going through. What about the campus life? What about the experience of interacting with others on campus, the physical makeup of our campus in those 27
yeah.
years?
Mm, that's an interesting question. I've been walking through it a couple of times since I retired and thinking how beautiful it is. And I always thought it was a very beautiful campus. I have to confess, I wasn't thrilled with the letterings on the buildings.
Mm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
It just seemed to be, I was really sad not to keep calling it, you know, the Walter Reuther Liberal Arts Building. I thought, this is such a nice reminder as we come in that it's not just Henry Ford's College, it's also the Workers' College, you know. So, and I think, you know, the K Building, what does that mean? You know, that was not something that I liked. And then we were in the U of M Dearborn's campus, and we see they have the same. So it must be a fire thing, fire prevention thing, because they have numbers mm-hmm. on their building. So yeah,
mm-hmm. I think what took it to the maybe over the top for some people
yeah.
that have been here a while was when they started labeling the doors on the different buildings.
Yeah.
Like some people sort of say it's a little preschool.
Yes,
like, we're going to come into you know door S,
yes.
and then in building J.
Yes, right.
And so which can be confusing, but I get it.
Yeah.
There are codes
yeah.
and things
yeah.
like
no,
that.
No, it's lovely. So that would be something. And I do, you know, I think that so many things have got, you know, just really beautiful in ways that they perhaps weren't so beautiful mm-hmm. before. I do think L14 is one of those rooms that is ripe, overripe for a pink coat. I mean, I don't know if it's still orange, but
it's still orange.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's shag from like the 70s.
Yes,
kind of,
yeah.
Kind
so,
of
but
orange.
That was the first place that I came because I gave this little talk about, aww. You know, there. So I have some warm feelings towards it, but also a sense.
Well, maybe that's why they're not doing anything
yeah,
to it. It's like historic.
Yeah,
they want to keep
historic.
It just
yes.
like it was
exactly.
when Geraldine
yeah, right.
First got
yeah,
here.
Right.
Well, and you know, we really do have Amnesty International to thank for you, for acquiring you here at our college,
well,
because as you said, that's what brought
yeah,
you
that
here.
That was the initial thing. Yeah,
yeah, and, yeah, and what I think has always been, what I've always had so much respect for, Geraldine, with you, is the fact that you have this important life outside of the campus community.
Yeah.
You always have,
yeah.
as long as I can remember. And you would talk about your work outside and bring groups together and so
yeah.
on. And I learned an awful lot about Amnesty International mm-hmm. that way. How did you, you know, going back even further, how did you get started with that? And And I know you're still working in some capacity with the organization today.
Well, I grew up in the United Kingdom. You grew up in Scotland, and it's something that's much more commonly known there. So I'd heard about it. I worked in Ghana, in West Africa, where I met my husband. So I had a sort of a little bit of a sense, and I didn't. It was a very easy thing for me to do. I graduated without any debt. You know, just about all my friends did VISTA or volunteer service overseas, some kind of thing like that. It wasn't a brave or a good thing to do. It was just kind of what we did. Mm-hmm. So I had a sense that the world was a little bigger than just Scotland or just Detroit or just wherever it was. Then when I was home with children, young children, we had decided that, you know, I would look after kids. My husband would work. And I heard on the radio, WDET interview with someone who was with the Amnesty group in Detroit, and we decided that we would join it. And it just gave me, it was one of those things where I felt really fortunate to have a lens to look at the world with at a time when, this was in 76, 77, 78, when places like Chile were there was a coup and it was torture, and I couldn't make sense of the world at all. I couldn't see how people could treat each other that way and how we could do nothing about it. So this gave me a sense of how to perhaps try to address individual cases of imprisonment, torture, and so on in a useful way, that this intervention by people from other countries did actually help people who were suffering. So I've kept up with that for about 40 years now.
Fantastic.
Yeah, so I was lucky. I didn't do very well getting groups started to begin with. It was hard to get students, and then suddenly it seemed to blossom thanks to the students who were. Batul was one of the people, students, you know. So that was a really nice thing, and then other students have. Continued it, and we've kept up with some of the students, you know, after they graduated. You know, that was nice too. Yeah.
Very good. Alan, you might not know this, but it was I think it was either last year or the year before, correct me, you were a recipient at the Women's Recognition Luncheon.
Yes, that was so
lovely.
So
lovely
gracious. So,
award.
Yeah.
And I remember one of your students got up and talked
a little
bit about you.
Yeah,
and it just,
yeah,
we were all just in tears. It was just spectacular. Just spoke to what you exude.
Well, as we all do. I think that's something, because when I talked to colleagues, I would hear of people who had, you know, given money or things to students because they needed books, or they were sleeping in their cars, or they were spending ages and ages writing things for them to help them get work, or, you know, so, yeah, I think that's one of the really good things is that attitude that we have towards our students, and I think it's reciprocal, you know, so.
Yeah. Well, we are joined in studio with Geraldine Gruno, and we invited Geraldine in to kind of talk about her experience, her time here at Henry Ford College, as we're celebrating 80 years, not in the same capacity, of course, but 80 years of changes and evolutions, mm-hmm. which brought us to where we are today. This evening is the gala to celebrate 80 years as a college, and we're so very proud of it, and Geraldine was just that bright shining star for me in my experience here, and Alan and I get to pick our guests. So
mm-hmm.
So we picked Geraldine, and she was kind enough to come in. Your sense of what education means, what being a teacher actually mm-hmm. means, I think is so profound. And back to your comments mm-hmm. about Amnesty International, mm-hmm. wanting to make a difference, mm-hmm. wanting to do something that's going to affect positive change. Mm-hmm. I think that really is the philosophy of what an educator should be.
Yes,
advice, suggestions, ideas for someone that is considering a profession like this, or considering, or even maybe already in the profession, feeling mm-hmm. like, I'm not making a difference.
Yes.
I'm burned out.
Yes.
I'm not doing anything, because you'd never seem like that when we experienced you on our campus.
Yeah. I don't think I ever felt, really confident or really, I guess confident would be the word, that I was being successful at the time. You know, I think that's something that perhaps, and I heard somewhere that good teachers never think they're good teachers. You know, that's the sign of a good teacher is. And I think, I don't know if it's a Scottish tendency or whatever, but we tend to not like people who boast, you know. So that might be one thing. Also that I try to think that the students, especially on the first day, are about as nervous as I am, you know, that we're equally nervous. And I sort of say that, you know, that every September it's terrible coming into school and getting started, you know. Only after the first day or so does it feel better. But I also tell them and I tell myself that where they are now is not where they will be in however long, 2 years, 10 years time. And that was one of the very nice things about getting old, is that you can, you know, actually have evidence of success. You know, students who were sitting at the back of an English 093 class, not doing very well, not writing well, and always hampered by having siblings. And I'm thinking, I can see one student sitting at the back telling me about siblings that he has to raise and how he has to work and how he has to get the bus. And nevertheless, he comes to class. And we just bumped into him before we moved at the Y in Livonia, where he works out. And he needs to work out because he works in intensive care as a nurse, as the head of the intensive care nursing division at Oakwood. And I say, oh my God, you know, isn't that wonderful? And that's true for so many students, I think, that they have trouble thinking of the trajectory of their lives or their careers. And I think it might be something that we can do, is to help them say, you know, it's difficult, it's long, but you can succeed. You will succeed, yeah.
It's beautiful, beautiful words of advice. And sometimes we need to hear that
ourselves, too. Surely.
Yeah, I'm just mesmerized listening now. I don't even have a follow-up question or anything like that, I have to say.
I told you, Alan, you she was something special. Oh, it's wonderful. You are spending some time enjoying the life of leisure.
I can't
imagine actually you being down for too long.
I'm very bad at getting up in the morning, so... And I'm also very bad at going. I love to stay up late, and I love to get up late. So the retirement is nice from that point of view.
Sure.
And I like to cook, so I like to do, you know, I like to have people over. And we have grandchildren. We have a daughter in Brooklyn, so we like to go visit her once in a while. And we do have a lot of work with Amnesty still. We're going to go to Washington in a couple of weeks and lobby for some stricter gun control, and to do some work for refugees. I also do a little work with Freedom House in Detroit, which is something that the Amnesty group that started here also became involved with. It's a shelter. It's the really only one of its kind shelter for asylum seekers in the United States. It provides all kinds of services, and it's an amazing collection of people and staff who also redeem our faith in humanity. You know, the people who have suffered immensely and who still are able to survive and prosper and be kind, even, you know, after some really terrible treatment.
That experiencing that, being a part of that, and again affecting that positive change, I think for anyone is sort of a good wake up call. Sometimes we think we have it badly,
or we maybe
are taking for granted what we do have.
And I think the students found that really inspiring as well. Yes, everybody wants to go there. I mean, you know, when we had expeditions there, I think that may have been the most scary time I had here, was leading a little convoy of cars down. I told them to go down Michigan Avenue, so we got as far as Evergreen, and then when they got to Southfield, they all wanted to get onto the expressway to go. It was downtown, so I said we'll just go straight down Michigan Avenue. So I had, you know, maybe like 10 cars behind me following, and they all disappeared because they all decided.
Or Siri told them to go a different direction.
Yeah, yeah, right. Exactly. Right. Yes. So I thought, oh my goodness, this is so scary.
But you found.
But they all came back.
Okay.
Yes, we all found each other. Yeah, I hadn't done much. I mean, I think many of my colleagues did really brave things with, you know, expeditions and field trips and so on. But I hadn't, and this was the first.
And it seems another area, just to sort of come back to your point about experience teaching, where sometimes that achieving success is sort of in that long view.
Yes.
It's a long time coming. And there's always that sort of, it's like that, you know, what, Sisyphean thing. You get the rock to the top of the hill and it rolls off another side and there's a whole other problem involved, too.
Yes, yes. That's true. And family things can intervene and you have to, I think we have to be very consoling and still say, you know, the work needs to be done, but it's not something that will make you fail eventually. You know, that's something that's really nice. Yes. Another, I thought, wonderful experience I had here was working with the Honors Program. I got to do that several times teaching, and I had several students who worked one-on-one with me in directed studies, and I got to take one student to Ireland. My brother was able to put us up and to take us to the Trinity College Library, where he worked. So that was another really, really nice treat. That this student certainly, as you were saying, would never have expected that. You know, when she started, you know, this was something that was, you know, a long time dream for her was to do this. I hadn't known that, but this is what. So yeah, to be able to help facilitate that was a great pleasure.
Nice.
For me, yeah.
Funny how things kind of work out as they should.
Yes.
If you're open and willing,
yes,
and, you know,
yes,
just kind of ready to accept it.
Right.
Well, Geraldine, it's been a pleasure catching up with you. I've learned some things today that I didn't know about you. And I have to share with our listeners and Alan, too, one of the best things about whenever Geraldine would serve on a committee, in particular, chair a committee, she tea and scones, like literally come in and have some tea and homemade scones. And so
everyone is welcome to come. We have a place in Dearborn. We're always happy to have. We can easily have that.
Oh, that's so wonderful.
Yes.
Well, her reputation is just forever, you know, will never be matched. But you know, mostly it's that sort of that humility, that thing that we don't see enough of today, that I've always had such respect for you in just your humble approach to the impact that you no doubt are making on a regular basis. So we want to say thank you for that time and that commitment to our college.
Thank you, and thanks to you for this wonderful interview and for all the wonderful sound that you provide for us. One last thing was of the very favorite things for our children was to go to the Scott, to the planetarium and listen. That was a great treat.
Thank you.
And you made it. You made it work well.
Well, thank you. Yeah. My pleasure. We are celebrating 80 years as a college institution. It has changed and evolved. It looks differently. I think it acts differently, as do all the people.
And it always looks better in late April than it does in February, I got to say. That's one thing. When you see the flowers around campus and things like that,
absolutely.
It's a bit different.
Now's a good time if you haven't been on campus for a while. You know, months, years, whatever. Come on over and see us sometime. But we've got more on the way. A distinct pleasure having you here, Geraldine.
Thank you.
And continued success with everything that you're doing.
Thank you. And many, many thanks to all my wonderful colleagues, my wonderful union colleagues and union president and the administration here. I think we're really into really good times.
Yes. Thank you so much. We've got more on the way. This is the WHFR Journal. Please stay with us.
Chris, you're not acting like a grown-up in our relationship.
M2!
There's your comic book collection, the race car bed.
I'm young at heart, but I put money into my 401k every paycheck. I'm taking control over my financial life, and that feels pretty grown-up to me.
Put away a few bucks, feel like a million bucks. For free ideas and easy ways to save, go to feedthepig.org. That's
feedthepig.org.
Are those footy pajamas?
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
Excuse me, miss. Would it be okay if I asked you a few questions about the radio station?
Yeah.
Great. First, Could you introduce yourself?
I am Mrs. Robinson.
In your opinion, what is the best program to have ever graced the airwaves here or anywhere in the world? Perhaps there is a DJ you consider the pinnacle of perfection who you yourself try to emulate?
Scrocking Your Potatoes, Mike D. Mike D.
Oh, that's the program on right before yours, Sunday evenings from 7 until 9 p.m. Where can listeners hear that again?
It's right here on the station making waves, WHFR.FM.
Welcome back. It's the WHFR Journal here on the station Making Waves. I'm Alan Mazurek along with Susan McGraw. What a great couple of conversations we've had so far with Glenn O'Cray and also with Geraldine Gruneau. Mm-hmm. And I guess now we're going to launch into another one and sort of explain what this whole theme of, you know, talking about Henry Ford College and its history in the community as we have celebrated an 80th anniversary, what it all means. We're going to bring someone to talk about that.
We are, absolutely. You know, the college can't flourish without support, not only support of students attending, professionals working here, but also the community and those that have been impacted by the college contributing in a financial way. And that's where the Henry Ford College Foundation comes in. Stacey Bosman is joining us on the phone at this time. She represents the foundation, and give us a little bit of detail about what's happening tonight. I know it's too late for tickets.
Just a little bit busy, Stacey. That's why we have to have you on the phone. I'd imagine you've been busy with preparations for the event.
It has been a busy week for sure. We're very much looking forward to it. We're going to be celebrating the 80th anniversary gala, presidential gala, this at the Henry Hotel. We have a gold sponsorship from Henry Ford III and his wife Emily, so that is wonderful, along with some dignitaries and friends and faculty, so it's going to be a great event.
If you could tell us a little bit about the foundation and the work that you do and what your mission is in terms of supporting the college environment and supporting this campus and the programs offered.
So the foundation, what we do is we are the fundraising component of the college, and we raise money for, basically to do improvements on the campus. You know, we have a campaign going currently right now where we're trying to contribute and raise funds to programs. We do scholarships. We have lots of different facets.
Yeah, and one of the things that I think is so fantastic, when there are students that have a strong urge to attend college, a strong desire to attend Henry Ford College, but not necessarily the financial means with which to do so, the foundation is one area that that they can turn to see about any scholarship money that might be available. And boy, there are too many success stories to go into now, but we know that that process is working. So students are directly benefiting by all of the hard work that the foundation is doing to sort of funnel in funds from people that haven't the ability to contribute, and that's the way to do it.
It really is, and we have wonderful donors and support, so it really does go a long way, and the students see those dollars directly, and it does impact sometimes their ability as to whether they meet that graduation point or not. We had one student that came in just a couple of weeks ago that was maxed out on her aid, and she needed two classes to finish her program, and single mom, and we did have a scholarship available that she qualified for, so she'll be walking across the stage in May. So it's a very rewarding feeling on our end, and you know, just to see the stress kind of leave her face was really a great thing as well.
How do people connect, those that have an opportunity at this time in their lives to make a contribution, to make a donation?
For those who hear a story like that and want to make an impact,
yeah.
Number one, and then my next question is going to be the mechanism for students that would be needing that
sure.
scholarship. So let's take them one at a time.
Yeah.
For those who hear something like that and understand what it means to that student, what it means to the college to be able to have them walk down and get that diploma in May, where's the contact other than tonight's event? And we'll talk about that in a moment, too. So,
well, there is a page on the website, hfcc.edu/foundation, and donors can give directly through that link. We also have our scholarship page where they can look at the different scholarships and what are set up through the donor profiles at hfcc.edu/scholarships, and that also as a mechanism. If they see a scholarship that speaks to them and, you know, want to help build that endowment or make sure that that gift is increased or offer more awards, they can do it that way as well.
Great. And then for the student that might be in need of some funds to keep their education going.
So for that, the scholarship application period runs every year, January 1st through March 31st, to start our fall award cycle, and that'll run through the following summer. We also have, it's kind of a unique situation where our staff, some of them are really proactive and really involved, and they do a lot to help these students and guide them too. So sometimes they refer them to our office. If, you know, maybe they have students who stopped attending, and they'll call them back and say, hey, you were just a couple classes away, what happened? And we can kind of work with them and help them to transition them through to finish that degree.
Great. Is there a direct contact number, Stacy, if someone wants to reach out specifically to the office for a very personal question, perhaps, about their situation, their need, or their interest and ability to contribute?
Sure. They can call me directly, 313-845-9620, or they can email me at scholarships@hfcc.edu.
As we're talking about people celebrating their time here at the college, I think since we've got Stacy on the line, Alan, we should kind of hear her story.
Say, what is your story and your connection to HFC? The blanket question has been your memory of the first time you set foot on the campus, I guess, and we'll go from there.
Okay. Well, my first time stepping on the college campus, I was 18. Started the winter semester as a student, and then I started working at the college as a temp in the registrar's office at 19 and got hired in when I was 20. So I in my 20th year of employment, I've worked in financial aid in the registrar's office, trade and apprentice, and now in the foundation. So I feel very thankful to have the different types of experience and have a little bit of knowledge to be able to, you know, help guide and direct students, because sometimes students come in and scholarships aren't their only need, but they need mm-hmm. to know where are they at in their steps and what do they need to do to get from A to B. Sometimes it can get a little confusing, and you don't want someone to walk away and feel like they don't understand or don't know what to do or what the next step is. So it's really important to make sure that that first interaction with them is positive and that you really are proactive and supportive, however you can be, to make their experience a smooth transition to get them started.
Yeah. Well, tonight's event is a good place to have a dialogue and to get the idea rolling that this is a wonderful institution worth celebrating and also worth contributing to. So, again, we're going to see you at the Henry tonight here in Dearborn and celebrating the 80th. Any surprises, anything we might look forward to? Anybody going to sing that we weren't expecting or anything along those lines?
Our musical group and the big band will be there, and they will be singing hits over the last 80 years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we're going to have an ice carving from our culinary department, and also they have made some homemade cookies for everyone to take home. So just having our touches from the college as well really makes it an extra special event.
Well, we thank you for your time, Stacy. We know you've got more work to do, so we're going to let you get back. But we'll see you tonight, and thanks for all the hard work and effort through the whole foundation office. You really are making a difference in so many people's lives, more than we'll ever know, but that's what we do here at Henry Ford, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
All right. Thanks again. See you later.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to today's edition of the WHFR Journal. I'm Alan Mazurek, along with Susan McGraw. Any last thoughts as you get to your, is it a cocktail dress, party dress? I just got to know what you're going to be wearing for the gala tonight. Yeah.
You know, we women have the right to reserve that decision to the very last minute. So I've got a couple in mind, but it could go a couple of ways.
We're not letting any surprises out just yet.
That's right, yeah, right. It'll be fancy. Let's put it that way. I love to dress up. But, I just want to say, in the beginning of our show, show today, we talked about our first time here on campus and so on. And I just cannot reiterate how literally life-changing this college has been to me from that very first time being introduced to the radio station. I came in thinking I was going to go into one field, ended up getting into classes that were a little more related to communication and so on, and have had just a lovely career thanks to the start here. And it is it's the community, it's the college, it's the resources, but it's most importantly the people. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing that we have to continue to talk about. And I can tell you, without the brain power and the passion and compassion of the founder of WHFR, Jay Koronek, mm-hmm. We wouldn't have a radio station. And so I have him to thank ultimately for not only the introduction to the station, wouldn't have been here without him, but also to my career. When Jay retired, I was lucky enough to be able to take over into his position of lead of telecommunications. So that is my personal thank you to Jay. And we've all got stories like that, and that's what makes this so beautiful.
We're certainly grateful to have the opportunity to be a part of the campus.
Yeah. This is the time more than ever to just say that, proud to be HFC.
There you go.
80 years in, and we
indeed.
Are.
Indeed. All right. Sounds good. Thanks for joining us for the WHFR Journal today. I'm Alan Mazurek, along with Susan McGraw. We thank our guests. We thank you for listening, and we thank Kitty Love for being up next to take us on a trip down Highway 61 here on the station Making Waves.
Winner of the Spirit of College Radio Award, broadcasting from the campus of Henry Ford College, this is WHFR Dearborn.
Do you enjoy music? There's indie rock. How about some blues?
I grew up in Troy, Michigan, but I got my soul in Detroit, home with a hook, man.
Or maybe jazz. Something a little more simple, like singer-songwriter folk Americana. Or something harder, like metal. Hi, I am Scott Boatwright. Tune in every Thursday for all these different genres of music from local artists, live performances every week from 5 to 6 p.m., interviews, and a vinyl showcase at 6, where I play an album in its entirety. That's every Thursday, live from Studio J.
Green jobs are here to stay. Why not go green with a degree in alternative energy here at Henry Ford College? Students will acquire knowledge in advanced fuel sources and the practice of alternative energy in the world. For more information on the alternative energy program, please contact HFC's Technology Division by calling 313-317-9816 or by going to hfcc.edu/programs.
Listener-supported, non-commercial radio from the campus of Henry Ford College. This is WHFR Dearborn. We'll be right back.